Hey guys, you remember those bands you used to love? Maybe some of the first bands you ever fell in love with? Do you ever wish they were still around today? We got a few bands like that, and we're going to talk about them next on the Music Box.
What's going on, guys? My name is Wade. I'm here with my brother Jimmy.
Hey guys.
And welcome to the Music Box Podcast. After a couple of week hiatus, we're back. And we are so ready to talk a little bit about the bands that we wish were still around, still making music, still making our adrenaline rush or our tears come out of the tear ducts of our eyes or whatever kind of band that that you listen to. That's what we're talking about today. What's going on, Jimmy? How are you doing?
It's good, man. It's been a hectic couple of weeks since the Incubus show trip, which was a great time. Still kicking that around in my head.
Always.
Processing that.
Always.
As we speak. Had Thanksgiving holiday. That was really good. Had just finished up a dinner theater that I was in. That my talented wife directed. And that was a hectic week and a really, really fun weekend.
Absolutely. I've done that with you before, man. It's awesome.
Good times. Hey, if there's local theater in your area, and if you're in Northwest Arkansas, check out Theater Squared, check out Walton Arts Center. I can't remember the name of the Rogers Little Theater.
Yeah, it's anymore. Rogers Little Theater. Just call it that.
But check that out. Those are people that are, if you're in Northwest Arkansas, there is brilliant theater going on within a 30-minute drive of your house, and you really owe it to yourself to go watch some live theater if you haven't done that.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree, man. I'm a fan of that myself. Being a fan of music, you're kind of a fan of the arts, as yep. you know, it's kind of in your core. So
yep.
musicians that are very expressive in what they play or what they write or what they sing or anything like that tend to draw towards yep. acting and theater and things. And
there's something so kinetic about the fact that it's happening right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
That there are no outtakes. There are no overdubs. There are no fixes. If you mess it up, it's messed up.
It's authentic.
And you got to work your way through it. And live theater is a great example of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So go check it out, man. Wherever you're at, try to catch a live show. If you're lucky enough to be in a big city, go to a Broadway show. I mean, go check the best theater out that there Absolutely. Is in the world. I mean, any kind of plays on Broadway, off Broadway, those are professional people doing that. Anyway, didn't expect to talk about that.
That was off the cuff.
Couple of things, man. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. It's growing weekly. We got people of like 9 different countries that are that That's listen to phenomenal. Our podcast, from France to Argentina, Brazil. If you don't follow us on Instagram, it's the Music Box Podcast on Instagram. We're at the Music Box Pod on Twitter. Follow us, like us, join in conversations. Speaking of that, we had a couple of people that are friends of mine and Jimmy's, as an acquaintance of Jimmy's, but at Stina Sparkle on Instagram, gave us some pretty cool feedback on getting her through some long workouts. She really enjoys our podcast and listened to The Greatest Frontman or Woman and gave us some suggestions on how we can make the podcast better or different things that we can do. So at Stina Sparkle, Instagram, thank you so much for your input, and we are taking it to heart. We're listening to it, and we appreciate you very, very much.
And always, just anybody that reaches out, Stina Sparkle on Instagram. I've had the pleasure of meeting her. She is a brilliant and charming woman in every conceivable way.
Yeah, absolutely. Great person. We're fans. We're fans.
Absolutely.
Getting to the topic today. I mean, let's jump in. Let's jump into the fun. Bands that we wish still existed is kind of a broad topic because right. I began to think about it. And I'm like, okay, do I talk about bands who've artists who have died? Do I talk about artists that have died of old age and their time is gone right. from planet Earth? Yeah. Do I talk about bands that I really loved from junior high to now that don't play music?
Right.
And are not doing anything right now. And I decided that mostly I'm not going to hit the classic rock.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit bands that influenced me and music that I liked.
I got you.
And I'm going to hit that late 90s to mid 2000s kind of range. Yeah.
That's right in your wheelhouse.
That's right in my wheelhouse. Even though I love all of the historic music, all the influential music, all the influential rock and hair metal, and I'm a super 90s kid, so
yeah.
I love the 90s rock and all of those bands. But let me hit you with my first one.
Do it. Let's hear it.
So... right about 2005, there's this band that comes out that pop punk era with like Newfound Glory and Sum 41 and Blink 182 in their latter years and all of this stuff. And there was this band called Yellow Card.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if you remember Yellow Card. They had a super huge hit called Ocean Avenue.
Right.
And if we had copyright privileges,
I would totally be playing that. We'll play you 14 seconds of that right now.
In the background of this right now. But Yellow Card, for me, brought something to the table. I don't know if you remember, but the thing about Yellow Card, they had a great front man. They had a decent rhythm section as far as the bass is concerned. Their drummer, they nicknamed the Animal, like from the Muppets.
Yeah.
He was a black guy that played drums for a punk rock band, and crazy good drummer in Yellow Card. But also they had an electric violin.
Yeah, that's in their awesome. Song. Yeah.
So this is the thing that you'll remember about Yellow Card is that there were violin solos in punk rock music.
Yeah.
Okay. What?
So that's a great juxtaposition of things, punk rock and violin.
And I remember the violin was like Dave Matthews Band's violin player. He played like this slender,
that weird looking,
black looking,
like a solid body violin. It's not an acoustic violin,
right? Something out of a Harry Potter movie. Right, it kind of looks like, you know. And so
it's like some kind of hieroglyphic.
Yeah, absolutely. So I remember liking Yellow Card enough that I bought a DVD that I still own of a live show of them. And super good, solid rock and roll band. I believe that they stopped making music in 14 or 15, 2014 or 2015. If you don't know Yellow Card, just go back, find their most successful album that pops up on your streaming service that you listen to, and take a listen. I really had never heard in punk rock music or rock and roll music this violin, like this rock and roll violin. That like the most violin I'd ever heard was bluegrass or Charlie Daniels or country or, and all of a sudden in the middle of this punk rock song.
Yeah, like
this,
a three chord.
You know what I mean? Some kind of violin solo. So bands, if you're out there and you're trying to make something work, find something that catches people off guard.
Yeah.
Whether it's a good vocal, a good lyric, a violin in your band, or you could be like a Weird Al, put a polka kind of sound.
If you're going to put a clarinet in your band, though, in your punk rock band, you need to spice it up a little bit, and you need to do it with some integrity. Don't just do it to try to get people to come to your show. Try to find somebody that can actually play and add something to the song if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. So I work in a capacity where we play music constantly over a speaker system in our facility. and on most of my playlists is that song and a couple of songs from Yellow Card. And every time it came on last week and I was telling some younger kid, he's like 24 or something, I'm like, do you know this song? And he's like, oh yeah, I really like this band.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, every time it comes on, I don't switch it.
Right.
And so that's a cue for me.
Yeah. That's like, a good indicator.
Kind of wish I could relate to some more of their music. So Yellow Card for me, there's one of my bands I wish still made music.
Yep. Maybe slightly obscure. And I had kind of the same struggle you had, where how do we define this? You know what I mean? I mean, there are a lot of bands that come to mind that maybe, you know, like we talked about, like, you know, maybe Soundgarden.
Sure.
You know, I mean, who doesn't wish Chris Cornell was still around making music?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, there are a lot of, you know, Nirvana, a lot of artists through history that you wonder what was next for them? Like, where were they going? What more could they have had to offer as far as their creativity or as far as their music?
So,
but I tried to kind of steer away from that specific thing. But there are a lot of kind of qualifiers that went through my head. Like, does this count? Does that count? Does this thing count?
Sure. And we didn't talk about that, which is our MO. We don't talk about anything
much before we get here. But my first band, I'm going to tell you right now, this band is not together anymore because they were not successful. Right? So my first band is a band called Brand New Immortals.
I've heard of them.
They did exactly one record. It did not sell, and they made no more records. But from the first time I heard the first single off that record, I was like, I need to hear this whole record. The first single was a song called Reasons Why. And as soon as I heard it, I loved it. Like, I loved it. I can tell you, I could take you to the place that I was sitting the first time I heard it.
That's pretty significant. Is this the band with like the piano rock?
No.
Band that you showed me a couple years ago? That's
Crash Kings.
Crash Kings, yeah.
Another great band.
Crash Kings.
They're still around.
Y'all check them out. Crash Kings.
But Brand New Immortals, they did one album, and I still listen to that thing front to back a couple of times a month.
Really? Honestly. I got to write that down.
When I'm driving around, sometimes I just go, I'm going to listen to this album. Like, and especially if I'm on shuffle and one of the songs off that album pops up, and it does pretty regular, I spin the whole record. As soon as I hear a song off of it, I want to hear the whole record. And it's just always been that way for me. I just like the guy's voice. He's got kind of a soulful thing. And I love the melodies and the hooks. And I just think that band had more to offer than what they were given the opportunity to give us.
Sure.
And the fact that I never got to see that band live annoys me. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
It's just like, I want this band to exist again in the world, even though they don't.
Absolutely. Man, so Brand New Immortals, if this was a copyrighted podcast, we could totally play some of that for you.
We would play you 14 seconds of Reasons Why right now.
Oh, man. So you guys just be wishing us good luck as to figure out how we can get you some of this music. But it's up to you.
And if you happen to be a copyright lawyer and you have advice for us, please let us know.
Absolutely. It's up to you. Hit the YouTube. Write these down as you're doing what you do. The Brand New Immortals, the Yellow Card. That's the first couple of bands on bands we still wished made music. If you have bands you wish still made music, let us know. Because on our Instagram, I did post this a couple of days ago. And at Justine. At Justine.16 on Instagram said, White Stripes. Yeah. Wish the White Stripes still made music.
You know, it's funny. Jack White is a prolific music maker.
Yeah.
But that thing, that White Stripes thing, because Meg White isn't a drummer. Like mm-hmm. She is a drummer now. But, you know, when they made that record, she was doing her best. But there's some magic to that. You know what I mean? Almost like Ringo Starr being a left-handed drummer playing a right-handed drum kit. It just made some sort of interesting things happen that not everybody made happen.
Well, let me tell you exactly, as a drummer, what I think that was. And I think it is the simplicity.
It is.
Of you have a guitar and a drum set.
Yeah.
And a drummer that really doesn't know kind of what they're doing.
Right.
But can hold time.
Yep.
And do nothing.
Rock
and,
solid.
And just add to the song. Yeah. Drummers, if you're out there, stop being big-headed drummers and making your own song out of the song, for lack of a better term, and just add to the song.
Yeah.
Just be in the song.
Play music.
Right? So, Ringo Starr, prime example.
Yeah.
Playing a left-handed drummer, playing a right-handed kit.
Yeah.
And had to do it simple.
Yeah, the guy from Def Leppard. It makes his approach so different.
It's so simplistic.
Yeah.
And so you get to the heart of what drumming is.
Right.
Right now I follow a bunch of people on social media and it's all like gospel chops and super blast beats. And those things are impressive and sexy, for lack of a better term. And but honestly, to me, somebody like Steve Jordan.
Oh,
check Steve goodness. Jordan out. He plays for the John Mayer Trio. He plays for John Mayer. He plays for numerous people. Steve Jordan, Ash Sloan, Benny Greb. Any of these drummers that are pocket drummers make me as a drummer say, okay, there is a left side of this, which is like Carter Beauford or Jose from Incubus, that are pocket drummers yet tasteful.
Yeah.
Okay? You got pocket and tasteful, and then you have show out and metal and chops and your drummers that do clinics and things like that and all of that stuff. And so I appreciate all sides of it, but I love to hear Steve Jordan play Gravity.
Yeah.
It's so simple, but will punch you in your forehead.
I have a question for you.
What up?
Have you ever listened to the Harry Connick Jr. album, She?
No, this is the second time you've mentioned that in our podcast.
I really think you would love the drumming on that album. It is so, it's so sparse and tasty. It is just lovely.
That makes me want to listen to it. Sparse and tasty, baby.
All of the beautiful stuff he plays is on his hi-hat and his snare. You know what I mean? And it's just, there's just a ton of little morsels in there that are just tasty little treats that you'll love.
I will listen to it. I promise you.
Yeah.
I promise you. It's done. So at Justine.16 on Instagram, thank you so much for putting the white stripes. Cool thing about, what was her name? Meg?
Yeah.
Meg White. I heard rumors that when Neil Peart had to resign and retire from Rush, that they were trying to get Meg White to play for Rush, which blows my mind.
That cannot be true.
No.
That has to be an urban legend.
Google that.
What is Meg White going to do with a 164-piece drum kit?
She's going to look at the hi-hat and the snare and the kick drum and say, I got you.
Move
I'm
all
a working
this out of
man.
I have a favorite Rush story. Can I tell it real quick?
Yeah, man.
When Will, my youngest son, when he was little, when he was like 2-3 years old, we'd ride around in the car and just every once in a while the mood would strike me and a song would come on the radio and I'd say, hey, Will, tell me what you think about this song, right? And so one day, I think it was Free Will or something like that came on, a Rush song.
I will choose free will.
Yeah. And so I would make him listen to the whole song before he commented on it. Right. He's 3-4 years old. Sitting in the back seat in a car seat. And so he goes through the whole Rush song, gets to the end of it. I go, what'd you think, buddy? He goes, that drummer's pretty good, but that guy sings like a girl.
That's awesome. And he made a lot of money doing it.
That is an accurate description of Rush right there.
Yeah.
That drummer's pretty good, but that guy sings like a girl.
That's hilarious. One of my favorite things about Rush, and saddest things all in one. What a career. from Rush. I think it's the first time we've ever talked about Rush on this podcast.
And they could totally fit into this topic. And I debated putting them on my list.
Oh, gosh. I didn't even think about them either.
Because from all accounts, Neil Peart is gone from the face of the earth. Like, he is not going to make music anymore.
He can't. Physically.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah, well, I heard he had just like, I'm dropping off the grid and I'm not playing this game anymore.
No, he has a disease where he cannot move his hands anymore.
Wow.
He is physically unable to do his craft.
What a tragedy.
So let's think about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's so sad.
Yeah.
That almost, it hurts me to think about it. It's not like, hey, I'm going to be a jerk and not play music anymore.
Yeah.
Neil Peart,
his body let him down.
His body stopped.
I did not know that.
Yep.
That's the same thing with Peter Frampton.
Oh yeah.
He just embarked on a big tour.
Yep.
Like in the summertime or something like that.
Yep.
And he has some sort of degenerative thing, and they know that at some point, even though they don't know at what point, he will not physically be able to play music anymore.
And you have a lot of artists that are dealing with tinnitus in their ears from years and years of playing live. In-ear monitor systems came around a little too late for these older guys.
Especially from, you know, those guys that came from the era where playing loud was a selling point. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, look at Motorhead.
Yeah.
I'm sure none of those guys can hear. They all have tinnitus.
I mean, the first time I ever heard about Ted Nugent, it was because he had played the loudest show ever recorded. Like, that they'd ever tested the decibel levels of. He had played the loudest one, you know. And that was when I was 6 years old or whatever, but that's the first thing I remember hearing about Ted Nugent was that he played the loudest show. That was probably in the late 70s sometime.
Wow. That's awesome. Dude, what a cool place our podcast has went today. Another person that hit us up on Instagram about this topic was @SeriouslyStacy on Instagram. She said, can I even say Matchbox 20 and not be a dweeb? So,
funny you should mention that.
Bands that we wish still made music. So I replied to this. Excuse me. Sorry, Jimmy. Take over.
I'll tell you right now that Matchbox 20 is one of Wade's favorite all-time bands.
Yeah, I love Matchbox 20.
So if you're a dweeb, then so is Wade.
Yeah.
Because he loves Matchbox 20.
I like Matchbox 20. I really love Rob Thomas. I've seen him last year. So I replied to Seriously Stacy on Instagram to this. I don't think that Matchbox 20 has put out music, but I did see them live last year.
Yeah, they're still touring.
I wish they made music. Yeah. Rob Thomas just recently came out with a new record, which is the lead singer of Matchbox 20. So seeing Rob Thomas live was like a dream come true.
Yeah.
It was in a, 10 to 12,000 seat venue.
Nice.
So it wasn't like...
That's nice work.
Oh, yeah, it was great work, but it wasn't as intimate as Incubus. I'm like, nothing's going to touch that.
Right.
But he commanded the stage. He sang the notes. He was actually singing, which is very important to me. He was actually singing. I was very impressed with Matchbox 20. Shinedown opened for them. No, it was Counting Crows. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Different show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Different show. Yeah. Counting Crows, which is
one of my other favorite bands.
So I had Counting Crows and Matchbox 20 on the same tour. It was like
fantastic.
The one of the best shows ever.
Yeah.
But I like Matchbox 20. They're still touring but not making music, so I guess we can go ahead and say that I wish Matchbox 20 would make some music.
Still making music.
But they're still have a catalog from 1997 on that record that just blew up with Push and 3AM and all that stuff all the way to 2013 or 14, maybe 15 was their last record, and now we're just waiting. It's like we're just chomping at the bit for Matchbox 20 to say, okay, Rob, you've done your thing. Now let's roll into something else.
Yeah.
So as a joke, at Seriously Stacy said, Spice Girls.
I'm too elderly a person to know anything about the Spice Girls. I'm just going to go ahead and say it right now. That was like, First of all, I got over pop music when I was about
3, 8.
You know what I mean? And then from like the time I was 8 until I was probably like in my mid-30s, I just didn't listen to pop music at all. Yeah, almost ever.
I have a hard time with it. I really do.
If you stick around for new music at the end, you'll see that I've changed my ways a little bit.
You're weird.
My elderliness.
Yeah, you're weird.
And also, seriously, Stacey brought up one of my favorite acts, and I did not think of this band when I was putting my list together, but I could not agree more wholeheartedly with any suggestion than the Civil Wars.
Yeah, Civil Wars, man.
What a brilliant combination of two people that was.
Yeah.
And just a tragedy. And they like broke up seconds after they finished an album.
Yeah, they just started not getting along.
Yeah. They were going in different directions. Wanting to have a family and sort of enjoy her success quietly for a bit and take some time away. And he was more like, let's capitalize.
Strike while
the iron's hot. I mean, the clock's ticking when you're a personality, when you're in the entertainment business. You have a shelf life.
Yeah.
And you're going to make most of your money while that shelf life is ongoing. And the Civil War's not still making music is a tragedy, in my opinion.
Absolutely. He's still making music, though.
Right.
So, I mean, you can check him out. Just go to the Civil Wars. You can find his music. I forget his name. It's John Paul. I think it's John Paul something.
I don't remember.
Don't quote me on that. Remember. But, so...
You got another band for us?
I do.
Do it.
I do have another band, and but I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
Throwing you a curveball, bro.
Well, I had 5 bands listed, and I've mentioned 1 so far. I'm going to go ahead and say that for my next one, I'm going to say The Police.
Yeah.
There's something about the way those three people hate each other that makes brilliant music. Because you can spend weeks and weeks listening to stuff that those three people have done outside of The Police, and you're going to find very little great music in that. Not much at all. But when those three people get together and hate each other the way they do, they make brilliant, intellectual, just authentic, interesting, brilliant music.
Yeah, I totally agree. So
But apart from that tension, they make pretty tired music, I have to say. The music that I've heard from those people, apart from The Police, does not interest me in the least.
Oh, no.
But like listening to any Police song at all is brilliant music.
No, I don't mind Sting's music.
It's fine, but it isn't great.
No, it's coattail music.
It is.
It's coattail music.
And if it wasn't for The Police, nobody would know Sting music outside of The Police.
No.
Let me say that.
Yeah, I mean,
That may be a better way to say it.
I totally agree with that. So I heard not too long ago, I think the last time The Police played together, they played a reunion tour in 2007.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. So it was like, hey, The Police are getting back together. It's 2007. That's 15 years ago to make me feel old at the moment. And it was terrible when it comes to going and watching a show. Now, if you go, if you're a diehard Police fan,
right,
and you're gonna follow this tour around, like you want to see different vibes, different rooms, different shows, kind of a different set list, kind of off the cuff kind of stuff. No, it was we don't really like each other.
Yeah,
we don't. We have these songs. It's at this time, this light, this moment.
Yeah.
This is the show.
Yeah.
For the entire concert. Oh, absolutely.
They were not making music. Absolutely. They were playing music.
They were playing the music that they did make.
Because they were forced to for money.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I get that.
So, I don't know if I 100% agree with you, yeah. and that's okay.
But I honestly feel like if you crammed those three guys in the room and made them write songs together, they would still make great music. And I don't know what about the tension in that group makes their music great, because they are all fantastically talented
sure.
people. To me, if we did a list of top, our favorite drummers, Stuart Copeland's going to be on my list. He is one of my very favorite drummers to listen to. Nobody else ever plays drums like he plays drums. Yeah. His approach to drumming within the confines of a song is the most interesting, creative drumming that you can hear. It's as good as anybody's ever been at playing drums in the confines of a rock song.
That's a very bold statement.
That's a mouthful.
That is a mouthful statement. And
but
you're
gonna
I'm trying to soak it all in right
you're
now.
You're going to have a hard time talking me off that ledge.
Okay.
Because I mean, just pick any Police hit. Just listen to Roxanne and listen to what he plays.
Yeah, it's off time. It's song. different. Yeah, I get you. I mean, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Your favorite drummer of all time. Like, one of your top favorite drummers of all time.
In the very, very top.
Woo.
Yeah.
That's boldness, man.
Yeah.
That's okay. This is an opinionated
show. I feel like the Police are a band that if they did get together to create music, would still create great music.
I think so, too. If they liked each other.
Right. And I would think that if you put those three guys together to create music, that they would create infinitely better music than any of the three of them would create on their own.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I totally get what you're saying, man.
And that's why I went to them for this.
Yeah, list. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Because I thought about them, too, but yeah. I didn't know enough about them. Like, I mean, of course you like their hits, but
yeah.
I haven't looked at their catalog. I haven't really dug into all that stuff. But I'm a Sting fan. Right. I do like Sting.
Right.
I like his songwriting.
Well, he's super literate. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. You listen to Police songs, there are references to not pop culture, but to literature. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just rife with ideas, like just like the song Canary in a Coal Mine. When that song came out, did anybody even know what a canary in a coal mine meant?
Right, no.
You know what I mean? That's just a really cerebral thought to put into a pop song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there are people that do that. But they did it brilliantly for, you know, a tragically short period of time.
That's awesome. Yeah, good band, man. I'm gonna hit you with a band that I'm sure none of our listeners have ever heard of, but you do have the opportunity to listen to them on Apple Tunes, Spotify, anything like that. But there
did you
is
just make up a music service?
Yeah,
Apple Tunes.
It's iTunes.
Apple Tunes.
Uh-huh. Go listen to some seeds on Apple Tunes. Okay, oh, iTunes.
My bad.
Anyway, a band that nobody knows of that I really wish still made music is they toured nationally. Played with some really big names, but they're kind of a local band. It's a band called The Wedding.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge supporter of local music.
Yeah.
And these guys were from Fayetteville, Arkansas, which is just a little bit down the road, kind of right in my era of growing up.
Yeah.
Nobody knows them, but you know bands they've played with and opened for and toured
right.
with.
Yeah.
From the likes of if you're ever in the Christian music scene, you kind of had like a Project 86. You had Thousand Foot Crutch, which a lot of people might know of. Falling in Reverse, all of these crazy bands, Children 18-3, all these bands that they've played with. But The Wedding for me was a very memorable concert because they introduced me to pop punk.
Yeah.
And so I had never seen anything like that. I was all into, you know, your Nickelbacks and your early 2000s stuff. And then all of a sudden,
Nickelback will be on my list of bands I'm glad are no longer making music.
Nickelback does make music.
Please make them stop.
And they're so successful. Why does everybody hate them? I don't know. And that's going to be my soapbox one of these days. The Wedding. Type them in. Listen to the record Polarity.
Yeah.
Okay. It's their first, it's their second record. It's Polarity. Man, there are so many great songs on Polarity. Drumming on Polarity is absolutely fantastic. Joe Rickard is the drummer on Polarity, who actually played on tour with the band Red, which is a very worldwide successful band called Red. Joe left The Wedding to play in the Red. And left Red and now plays for a worldwide popular band called In Flames. And so, man, The Wedding has great roots. They toured for over 10 years.
Yeah.
Just their nose to the grind. And they opened for, you know, Brian Head Welch and all these, you know, that's Korn's guitar player. But go listen to the Polarity record. It's a great record. It was made in 2006. It's a great record. I wish The Wedding was still making music. Actually, 2 years ago, they played
the reunion show
the 10 years after Polarity. They played at the Meteor.
Yeah, at the Meteor.
And it was absolutely phenomenal. So if you don't know The Wedding, go stream them. Go listen to them. My good friend, the guitar player, I have a tattoo on my body from him. But also, he has a merch company in Nashville, Tennessee now. He's doing big things there with a lot of touring bands. So, go listen to The Wedding. I wish they were still making music.
Yeah. I'm going to throw one out now that's a little probably out of my wheelhouse. But
excuse me.
This one just kind of popped up into my head. And I'm not sure why, because I haven't listened to this band in a long time. But I think Chicago, that... like mid-80s Chicago, the Peter Cetera Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Like, they still tour all the time.
They're coming here.
You know what I mean? They still are touring every single year.
Yeah.
But when's the last time you heard a great Chicago album? But you go back. The 80s? You go back to the 80s, those 80s years. You know, and obviously Chicago was a known entity when those albums hit. 16 and 17, I think, are probably... the big, massive Chicago hits. But those were great, tight little pop records with Peter Cetera. And I don't know how much of that has to do with him personally.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously that was not a good situation when it ended. But I would just like to hear what they could crank out with those guys. You know what
you
I mean?
You never know, man.
I don't know. It's just a...
No, good one. I love it. I love Chicago. They're actually coming to town next summer.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who's playing with Rick Springfield.
Oh.
It's Springfield in Chicago.
I'm probably going to go to that.
Yeah, we have to go to that.
I kind of like me some Rick Springfield.
Oh,
he's on my Guilty Pleasures playlist.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me throw another one out there for you. And there might be hope for it, but as of now, they do not make music anymore, and it's My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
I want My Chemical Romance to make more music.
Big tour coming up this summer.
Next year in 2020, they just announced they are playing some festivals and some shows coming back from, I think they stopped in 2013. 6 years off of the road. Gerard Way, their lead singer, has got picked up a Netflix show from a comic book series he wrote called The Umbrella Academy. Watch that, support him. But My Chemical Romance is going on tour next year, which is awesome news. And maybe.
Hopefully that means new music.
Just not too long ago, Jimmy and Kimberly and I went to Oklahoma City. And we played the entire Welcome to the Black Parade record.
And sang along with every
single
cut. And sang
along with every song. I loved every minute of it.
Every second of it.
My Chemical Romance, I wish you still made music.
Absolutely. My last one that I'm going to talk about is Oasis.
I knew.
And it, you know, it's that brother thing.
Like, why?
You know, the Black Crowes just got back together. Big tour coming up.
Yeah.
And they were broke up for 20 years because brothers can't get along.
Brothers got a hug.
Brothers got a hug. If brothers don't hug, bad things happen.
Bad things happen.
But listen, I mean, there is no bigger icon of 90s music than Oasis.
Which is weird to me.
And I have no idea what those guys are talking about when they talk. But they made a tight little pop song and absolutely murdered them.
Which one?
Like all of them. Like that whole album, What's the Story, Morning Glory. Like everything on that album, every single thing on that album is pop perfection just about. And it's those two guys, you know what I mean? Like apart from each other, it's the same thing like the Police. When those two guys are separated, their music's kind of okay. When they're together, there's something about that tension
that makes it
great.
Everything that I've heard about, what is it, Liam Gallagher?
Liam
and Noah.
Yeah.
Is that they're absolute buttholes.
Absolutely. They are. There's no question.
They are the most boring band I've ever watched in my entire life.
Yeah.
They do nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. And they stand there singing Britpop songs.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan. I like the Don't Look Back in Anger song. Those were some catchy songs.
Right.
And Don't Go Away, Say That You'll Stay.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of songs.
Yeah, no, like, they're not.
I get it.
It's not the Police. I mean, they're not referencing the Lolita novel in their songwriting, but they wrote perfect pop songs together.
You said you weren't a pop fan.
I'm not, but I do have an appreciation for it.
You said you were going to contradict yourself, didn't you?
Yeah.
Hey. Okay. Well, I can get on board with that. We don't have to agree on everything.
We don't have to agree on everything.
No, I mean,
because we won't.
No, I get it. I do appreciate Oasis, but I really don't care if they make music again or not. That's just my opinion. I did listen to their music. I did sing their songs. I did turn them up when they were on the radio. But, man, that ship has sailed for me.
Yeah.
But
listen, if you're the guy at a party with an acoustic guitar trying to get chicks and you're not playing Champagne Supernova, you're not trying, my friend.
That's funny. Let me get my guitar real quick.
Play us a few bars, will you?
That's funny. Should I say my last band?
Do it.
Oh, gosh. Which one do I pick?
I have one honorable mention.
I have a couple honorable mentions. Let me go a different genre. The more people I polled, the more people wanted Destiny's Child to make music.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just be real.
Our Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram. That was from Justine.16.
Yep.
It's Destiny's Child. I get it, man. They started a movement. They really did. And Beyonce and Kelly Rowland and, gosh, I can't remember the third lady's name, but Destiny's Child was huge.
There were four of them when they started.
Yeah, they kicked one out.
One of them just got photoshopped out of all the publicity pics.
No money for you. We'd rather split it three ways.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Destiny's Child is definitely an honorable mention.
For sure.
Gosh. I wish the Spin Doctors still made music.
You know, I thought about them too. Yeah.
A band before their time, man.
We played Spin Doctors in our dinner theater.
Really?
Did you pick up on that?
I didn't.
We did. We played Two Princes in one of the bumps.
I missed it.
And I agree. And when we were talking about music for the play, I was like, because we were looking for some kind of upbeat stuff. And I was like, what about Two Princes? And they pulled it up and they're like, yeah, we got to put that on the show. And I was like, where'd all the funk bands go? All that pop funk bands. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Those bands are my favorite. And you know what it made me think of was Harder to Breathe by Maroon 5.
Yep. Back when Maroon 5 was a band.
That is right in my wheelhouse. I adore that stuff.
When I first heard Harder to Breathe,
yeah.
I was like, I got to know who that is. Yep. I remember where I was.
I do too.
I remember whose house I was at. I was at a get together with one of my friend's cousins, whatever. They played that song, and Songs About Jane, that record, was the best Maroon 5 record that's ever been produced.
By far.
Ever made.
Yeah.
It was an awesome pop rock band.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're on Maroon 5. I still wish Maroon 5 made music.
Even though they're still making music, in air quotes, I wish they were still making music.
Let me tell you something. Adam Levine is hiding behind whatever this label, whatever Maroon 5 is doing now. That guy's talented. He can sing, and he can shred the guitar. If you don't believe me, YouTube Adam Levine's cover of Purple Rain for Howard Stern's birthday party.
Yep.
All right? Just watch him sing, watch him play, and ask yourself why this guy does not do this for a living.
And ask yourself why people decide to take talent like that and bury it under this wall of sound for no reason.
I don't know.
Let the people make the music.
Well, either let the people make the music, or the people will decide they're sick of making your music and they'll go out and make the music they want to.
And hurry up and get sick of that, Adam Levine.
He got the Super Bowl last year.
That's true.
By golly, took his shirt off, made a couple $1 million.
He's here doing it better than me.
I don't remember what song he's saying.
I don't know either.
If you can tell me what song he's saying without looking it up.
Harder to breathe.
It was not harder to breathe. Made me hard to breathe. Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
My
honorable mention is a band that tours, and I saw them last year. I saw Skid Row, but without Sebastian Bach. They're not the same band.
No, and I'm
let
sure
me tell you
not.
Something. The guy, the fake Sebastian Bach they have, he isn't pretending to be Sebastian Bach, and he's very, very good. He can hit the notes, which I doubt Sebastian Bach can still do.
Sure.
But when you get into that transition period between hair bands and grunge, the right there in that bridge is the Skid Row Slave to the Grind album.
Yeah.
To me, that is a brilliant rock and roll record.
Yeah, I gotta listen to that.
And those two, the Skid Row debut album and Slave to the Grind, are two gems from that era. And just the vocal performance on the song Monkey Business is just as good as rock singers can be.
Guys, look this stuff up. Please look it up. We're throwing our heart out here at you.
So much. Yeah. That's my guts on the stage there.
That's your guts. So let me give you my last one, and it's real quick. And I tried to avoid this. Because if you were talking about people who had passed away and were no longer with us, we could have talked about Prince and Stevie Ray Vaughan and Janis Joplin.
All these people
we would really love that still played music. Cornell from, everybody. Yeah. But Chester from Linkin Park. Yeah, I wish, I didn't even think about that. But he was not with us anymore. But I'm going to throw one out there that didn't really get to the place I know that she could have. And I'm going to throw out Amy Winehouse.
I knew you were going to say that when you said she.
Yep, it's Amy Winehouse. Addiction got her and all of this stuff. But I'm telling you, she was before her time.
Yeah.
She was the pioneer of that sound.
Yeah.
To me.
It's so funny. Just talking about that in general kind of puts me in the mindset that, people like Amy and Chris and Chester and, Kurt Cobain and people like that, they're just tortured souls.
Yeah.
And you wonder how brilliant they would have been minus that element. Do you know what I mean? Like, did the torture feed the addiction? You know what I mean? And you know that all of that goes into their art.
Or,
you know what I mean? It's like with the Police, it was the tension between the three of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally get it,
But then you wonder if you can separate the torture from the art. Because you can't. It's obviously feeds into what drives those people.
That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
To create the way they create.
Would we have Amy? Would we have Kurt? Would we have Chester? Would we have... let me exclude Chester. Would we have Stevie Ray Vaughan?
Yeah.
Would we have Jim Morrison? Would we have any of these... Ozzy? Right. Any of these people without addiction?
Right. Yeah.
Like, do they do their best work?
Yeah.
In addiction, and then it just gets some of those, like that magic number 27, like Janis.
Yeah.
And Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
And Stevie Ray Vaughan. Everybody that dies of the magical number 27... For right. some reason, Amy Winehouse died at 27. Is too, if I'm not incorrect on that, but that's an interesting.
Yeah,
topic,
and it just,
man.
You know, it's tragic and sad, and the most awful thing that those people are gone too soon.
Yeah,
you know, but then you wonder how much of the tortured soul drives their art.
Yeah. Man, that's... Wow, you just made me think. I mean, even from artists to poets to writers, like the tortured soul, that is quite an inspiration that you can draw on to make your art. So that's an interesting yeah. topic, man. You know what? We understand. We went a little long today, and I thank you for still listening. But we haven't talked in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So 51 minutes is not too bad. There are
I have one caveat to add to what we just talked about.
Yeah.
Stevie Ray Vaughan was an addicted person, but he died in a plane crash.
True.
And from all reports, he was clean.
Stone cold sober. Yeah.
But, you know, that could be, you know, I don't know.
Sure.
Lore. For lack of a better term,
mm-hmm.
but, and who knows, you know, what would have happened to any of these people after the fact, right? Like who knows if Kurt Cobain had anything left in him to give? We won't know.
Well,
you know, that's the thing you can't know.
I think you can look at Nirvana's catalog and see that it was progressively losing its steam.
A little bit,
To me, it does.
Well,
it really
does. But if you get past the pressure of following up Nevermind, you know what I mean? And then In Bloom was a pretty massive hit. If you get past the pressure of that, if you can put some space between yourself and that, then can he get back into, you know, that creative place where he's not, you know, where he's not feeling the pressure from above and just... kind of get into his own self again and create a real sort of, you know, from a really
authentic,
sort of personal, authentic place.
Yeah.
Again, maybe you can, maybe you can't. Some people can, some people don't.
And so I've never thought about that, but I think that if Nirvana would have continued, they wouldn't have made it very long.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say 97, 98, maybe 2000, once music started to change and Kurt Cobain would have had to, like, do what Dave Grohl did.
Yeah.
And start really kind of progressively writing
away
bigger rock songs.
Thing, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The only band that I know that's coming out with a new record that was super huge in 1998 is The Refused. Refused is coming out with a new record this year.
Yeah.
But everybody in your late 90s, early 2000s pop, punk, hardcore scene puts The Refused as a... like an influencer.
Like an influencer, yeah.
Yeah, and so your early 2000 or your early 90s Nirvana, I don't know if they would have had that.
Yeah.
But I don't, I hated the tragic loss of Kurt Cobain, but I wouldn't have got the Foos.
Right.
Yeah. Dave Grohl would not have blossomed
and,
into the artist that he
honestly,
is.
Honestly, as a fan of rock and roll, the standard bearers for rock and roll that still exist in the world today in a meaningful way are the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
You know, they're the coat rack that every other rock band is hanging from.
Trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. Man, what a cool conversation today.
Cool conversation.
I had no idea.
I didn't know I was going to spin into that. But
54 minutes into this. You want to hit some new music? I don't mind to go first if you want me to.
I got some right here in my
Get
hand.
It. New music.
So this week I was listening to a radio show, and somebody talked about a record that's not fully out yet, but you can listen to. Let me see. Hang on. Let me find how many tracks you can listen to. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are 5 tracks from an album that's coming out next month from an artist called Halsey.
Oh, Halsey has a new record, huh?
Yep. Record's called Manic. I have listened to these 5 tracks 10 times in the last 5 days.
Wow. And you didn't text me?
I didn't text you because I wanted to throw it on you right here at the moment.
Jerk.
I'm not a person who knows anything about Halsey. I know that she's a pop singer, but I heard somebody say a thing about this record on the radio, and I thought, well, I want to hear that. And so I popped it in. I pulled it up on my Apple Music.
Popped it in like you had a tape?
Popped it in my tape deck. And man, I love it. I love it. The songwriting is authentic and sincere. And the vocal delivery is artistic.
Well, Halsey can sing.
And talented and interesting. There's just nothing that I don't like about any of it,
honestly. Sweet. What's the name of the album?
The album is called Manic.
Manic from Halsey.
Yep.
Let's check it out this week. You guys check it out. Stream it. My new music for this week of December the 9th. Oh my gosh. Is from an old school man. His name is Mr. Ozzy Osbourne.
The Oz.
And he has a new song out called Under the Graveyard.
Fantastic.
And if you haven't listened to that, it is so catchy.
Yeah.
And it sounds old school Ozzy to me. It sounds like they pulled voice from back in the day. And like, Ozzy's 71 and he can't even talk anymore. And you hear him singing this perfect notes and things like that. So there's got to be some post-production and things going on. But cool thing that I learned about this Under the Graveyard song is that Chad Smith from the Chili Peppers plays drums on it.
Yeah.
And so when you hear that, you're like, that's why the drums sound so fat and full and awesome in this.
That's funny. You don't instantly put him in a hard rock band either with that funk kind of Red Hot Chili Peppers thing.
So think about the fact you're listening to Under the Graveyard by Ozzy Osbourne and Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is playing that song. It's like,
you know, Ozzy, as old as he is, as long as he's been doing it, that's a guy that kind of defies the odds. When he makes music, it's still good music.
Yeah, 60.
It's still relevant and sounds like it was just made, and you know what I mean?
16 records, 173 songs.
That is amazing. What an amazing career for a guy that, you know, has not lived the most clean lifestyle.
One of the guys that snorted his own pee and ate bat crap and bites
heads. And he was married to Sharon Osbourne for a long time. So, I mean, how can you live through that?
I don't know. I can see
Sharon!
Sharon! Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening to the Music Box Podcast. Under the Graveyard from Ozzy Osbourne, and Halsey has a new record from Manic. Bands you wish still made music, please hit us up on Twitter at Music Box Pod. Hit us up on Instagram as the Music Box Podcast. Let us know bands that you wish still made music. We'll interact with you and talk with you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for listening, and
we'll see you next time on the Music Box.
Bye.